Time now for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. And this week we talk with Nina Khrushcheva, professor of international affairs at the New School for Social Research in New York and great-granddaughter of former Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev. February 25th marks the 50th anniversary of what might have been the most important speech in the 20th century, Khrushchev's famous secret speech where he denounced his predecessor Joseph Stalin. In advance of this observance, Khrushcheva writes about the deepening nostalgia in Russia today for the former Soviet Union and for former dictator Joseph Stalin. Her op-ed appeared in yesterday's Washington Post Outlook section. If you have questions about the secret speech, about Khrushchev, Stalin, or the reemergence of the cult of personality, give us a call, 800-989-8255, or email us, talk@npr.org. Nina Khrushcheva joins us now from our bureau in New York, and thanks for slogging to the snow to be with us on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
What was it like growing up as a Khrushchev in Russia?
It was pretty comfortable, considering that he was a known person. And Khrushchev was a known person. He wasn't mentioned. He wasn't studied. He pretty much didn't exist. And so it was sort of mild form of dissidentship. We had all the amenities of the elite, and nonetheless, we were not supposed to speak about why we were the elite.
You were the nomenclatura without the nomen.
We were the nomenclatura without the name, absolutely.
Give us a little background on this famous speech. This comes, 2 years after the death of Joseph Stalin?
It came 3 years after the death of Joseph Stalin on February 25th, as you suggested. It was not supposed to be secret. Khrushchev didn't mean it to become secret. It's called secret because he was preparing it in secret, knowing that it would be very hard to deliver it because he wasn't sure what would be the Politburo and the nomenclatura attitude towards it. So that's why it's considered a secret speech. And the reason then it was not widely advertised after the speech, although wasn't concealed from the people either, is that when the information about the speech started coming out, and there were pretty drastic uncovering of Stalin's crimes, of the gulags, of millions and millions of people who went to prison during Stalin's regime. The reaction of the nation was stunned. It was an anxiety. It was not happiness that we uncovered the truth about ourselves, Russia, the Soviet Union uncovered the truth about itself. Not so much fear, but just absolute anxiety. And the sad consequences, at least the immediate ones, is that the secret speech became indeed secret because the nation, although wanted freedoms, but it also didn't want to discuss how horrible pre-freedom situation was. So people were coming back from the gulags after the speech, after 1956. They were given new jobs. They were reinstated in the Communist Party. They were getting pensions, but they were not supposed to discuss it anywhere, what are the things they went through. And this was kind of a predicament of Russia. It opens up and then closes itself down, and sort of the cycle continues.
And one of the things you say in this piece is that Russia's failure to understand and bring fully out the crimes of Joseph Stalin has repercussions to this day.
Absolutely. And it's not so much even the information that Russia doesn't have. For example, when Mikhail Gorbachev came into power in 1985, he declared his policies of glasnost. And then the Soviet people learned everything that they was there to be learned about Stalin. But the problem is, since then, the nation, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and I'm a great fan of Boris Yeltsin, the next president of Russia, mm-hmm. post-Soviet president, post-communist president of Russia, but he was also the exile from the party. He was also the member of the party. And if the Soviet system was corrupt and thus collapsed, then when the Yeltsin system came in and became equally corrupt, it's very hard to actually deal with the problems of the past when the problems of the present are piling up.
We're talking with Nina Khrushcheva, the great-granddaughter of former Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev, who 50 years ago this month delivered the famous secret speech denouncing Joseph Stalin. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And the thing that you're curious about also is a reemergence of, is cult of Stalin too strong?
I think it is a little too strong, but if we go this way, probably 2-3 years from now, it would be exactly the right word to use. And the reason for this is that no nation wants to be the member of a citizen. No citizen wants to be a member of a weak, defeated nation. So you have to get your pride somewhere. And Stalin, especially now when the gulags are no longer, you can look back and think with the time it was the order that Stalin provided. The prices were going down. We were respected around the world, and so on. And since you don't have to pay for it, with your own life, in a way you could afford 50 years later to think that, in fact, that was a great time because you're not afraid of your own life anymore. And so that really brings the reemergence of Stalin, and current president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, does play on that quite well, because he does see himself not as a brutal dictator. He actually doesn't want that part of Stalin to be part of his personality. But the fact that he can bring order to the country, the respect on the world stage, and that he takes from Stalin and talks about that.
One of the big differences between Putin and Stalin, and there are many, but one of the big differences is that the current Russian leader doesn't seem to be an ideologue.
Well, he is in a sense, but he's very mild ideologue. He's a very pragmatic ideologue, so he does it for his own pragmatic purposes. Well, there are many, many differences. I by no means want to say that Putinism today is what Stalinism was. Absolutely not, by no, because Putinism is a hybrid of a lot of different things. And, Putinism also something that also takes from the Yeltsin years, that as anarchical and maybe corrupt they were, there was still some hope that Russia would eventually become the West, because that's what it wanted to be, a democratic country. So Putinism is not Stalinism in any way. And if Putin is ideological only in a sense that he brings dictatorship of law and order, he wants to bring Russia back into the world stage. So it is the Russianism that his ideology, rather than communism. And I think there is somewhat of a difference.
And in this nostalgia, as you describe it, for the strong man, whether he be the Tsar or Joseph Stalin, there is at the same time a dismissal of your great-grandfather as, I guess it's the messenger who brought the bad news.
He's the messenger who brought the bad news. He's accused of taking the faith away, because Russia is big on faith. It's either Russian Orthodox religion or communism. There's spiritual values that we highly believe in. He took this faith away, and then I think he will never be forgiven for. And he's in somewhat a predicament, as it probably will always be in a predicament, because for the hardliners, for those who want Russia to be at any cost to be the greatest country on earth, even if it would kill half of its population, he cannot be recognized exactly, because he took the faith away and he wanted to open up, and he, you know, brought bourgeois Pepsi Cola to Russia in the first washing machine and whatnot, opening up the borders. And for those, for the liberals, for the liberal reformers, he would always be a dictator, because he also participated in building of Stalin's regime, and he also sent people to death, and he was also Stalin man up to a certain point. So he would always be sitting in this sort of foundation pit, in a way, because he wanted good for the country, but he came out of the system that by definition is despotic.
And when the anniversary comes, how will you mark it?
I don't mark it. I'm talking to the radio, being on the news, writing op-eds. I think that's how I mark it. I agree with you, it's one of the most important events. Not one of the most, but probably one of 10th many important events of the 20th century, because it put the crack into the despotic Soviet system. And I think a lot of nations would appreciate it, should be happy that it did happen. And despite the fact that President Putin said that the collapse of the Soviet Union was a geopolitical catastrophe on a global scale, I actually think that a lot of countries would disagree with that. And I think without the 20th Party Congress, without this first crack, as imperfect as it was, these freedoms Jews may not have been possible, or actually would have taken another century to happen.
Nina Khrushcheva, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Nina Khrushcheva, Professor of International Affairs at the New School for Social Research in New York, joined us from our bureau in New York. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.